This is Guildcast, episode 52 for October 28, 2006. Welcome back to Guildcast, everyone. I'm Lady Sinea. I know that we said there wasn't going to be a show this week, but I simply could not wait until next week to talk about this huge update that just came out. There is so much to it that we probably will be discussing these changes for weeks to come anyway. Some people are upset about the changes, and others are ecstatic about a lot of them, but the thing is, there have been a lot of changes. This update came out on Wednesday night, and I'm recording this on Thursday night. Because of my weird sleeping schedule this week, I got a chance to play with some of the new features this morning, but I haven't explored everything yet, obviously. I've just picked up my copy of Nightfall, and I put my key in, and I'm ready to start playing in Alona tomorrow morning, but I'm sure that by the time you all hear this, you'll probably be well into the game already. Except those who opt for just the PvP version, which is another thing that came out this week. You can check it out for yourself by logging in and going to the online store, and I think it does make a lot more sense for them, if they are going to be selling these things, to be doing it by campaign rather than by class, because otherwise the prices would have to keep being adjusted with all the new skills that come out, or you would have to buy supplemental packs or something like that. So anyway, I think the way that they have the PvP packs set up now is a lot better for ArenaNet as a company than the way they had them before. And I guess if people are going to buy these, they might as well sell them and keep their company viable so that everyone can all still keep playing Guild Wars, right? So, of course, the biggest news is that Nightfall is out. But we got an early taste of some of the cool new features. And here's what the beginning of this update from October 25 said. Today we are publishing the new features of Guild Wars Nightfall in anticipation of the campaign's release this Friday, October 27 at 12:02 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Players won't be able to acquire heroes or participate in hero battles until they can play through the Nightfall campaign, but many of the other features of Nightfall are available today as free updates. So like I said, and you probably noticed, this was a really big update. I'm not going to read everything, but I am going to read a lot of it. So here we go. Skills and attributes. Skill selection, attribute adjustment, and secondary profession selection are now centralized on the new Skills and Attributes panel. Your character can now change their secondary professions whenever they are standing in a town or outpost. PvP characters can change to any secondary profession, while role-playing characters can change to any profession that character has previously learned. This is great. We got a taste of this during the PvE preview. It'll take some getting used to, what with the menus being a little bit different, but I think having everything centralized should make things easier. Also, not having to go to a profession changer is really nice. You don't have to leave your group and go change your profession and hope that they save your spot for you. The only thing that I was disappointed about was that the option for having no secondary isn't there anymore. I really liked being able to go all monk for a couple of weeks after that Nightfall PvE preview. Oh well. You can now save and load templates containing skill bar setup, attributes, and professions. This allows you to switch a character between different roles quickly and to share your strategies with friends. Okay, who isn't excited about this? We have been talking about this for months, and I don't even know how long. You save your skill bar and your attributes so that you can switch back and forth instantly. All you have to do is set up your bar and attributes the way you want them, then you save the template. Then if you want to use it later, you just click on the Load from Template option, and bam, instantly, you have everything set up. You can even copy your template files. You can send them to other people or post them on the internet to show how you're set up. PvP characters can now save and load equipment templates containing a complete set of armor and weapon selections. This is good. You can set up your PvP character's equipment and save it the way you do with your skill bar. There is also an equipment builder so that you can create whatever equipment you want for your PvP characters and your heroes. Now this is interesting. Armor insignias. New armor crafted in Alona or through the PvP equipment panel can contain swappable insignias, which provide the same type of bonuses that previously were permanent parts of the armor, plus new bonuses that are being introduced with Nightfall. With the use of armor insignias, you can now mix and match different armor bonuses with different armor appearances. Additionally, the use of insignias simplifies the process of creating armor with the PvP equipment panel because you can choose the armor appearance and bonus separately. Outside of the PvP equipment panel, you can only place an insignia on a piece of armor if that armor has a blank insignia slot. Certain types of armor crafted in Alona include blank insignia slots. Like other types of armor upgrades, insignias must be unlocked on your account before you can use them in the PvP equipment panel, because some insignias are replacements for bonuses that used to be inherent properties of PvP armor, those insignias are already unlocked on your account. Because insignias allow you to place bonuses on certain types of headgear that could not receive bonuses in the past, some existing high-end headgear from Tyria and Cantha is being updated with this build to include new bonuses. Weapon inscriptions. New weapons found in Alona, or created through the PvP equipment panel, can contain swappable inscriptions, which provide a variety of weapon bonuses and enhancements. Like armor insignias, weapon inscriptions allow you to swap bonuses between different items you acquire by playing through the role-playing content, and they simplify the process of creating items with the PvP equipment panel by enabling you to choose the base weapon and the weapon bonuses separately. You can only place an inscription in a weapon if that weapon has a blank inscription slot. Inscriptions and inscription slots are sometimes found on rare weapons dropped by monsters in Alona. Inscriptions must be unlocked on your account before you can use them in the PvP equipment panel. Inscriptions that provide bonuses that were previously inherent bonuses of PvP weapons are already unlocked on your account. Okay, I know that was a lot to take in. We'll tell you more about it as we start using these inscriptions and insignia more. New item upgrades. Shields, wands, and focus items created through the PvP equipment panel or found in Alona can now have upgrades applied to them. Shields can have a shield handle upgrade plus one inscription. Wands can have a wand wrapping upgrade plus one inscription. Focus items can have a focus core upgrade plus one inscription. And these upgrades are equivalent in power to inherent item bonuses that were found in previous campaigns. So it sounds like they aren't going to be any more powerful than the equipment that we currently have, but they'll certainly be more customizable. New salvage and upgrade system. Salvaging an item with upgrade components now gives you the ability to pick which item you would like to salvage. As you know, this has never been the case before. It was always completely random. If you salvage an item to extract a magical component, there is now a 50% chance, and I'm not sure, but I could have sworn when I looked this page last night before I went to bed it said 75%, not 50. But anyway, there is now a 50% chance that the base item will not be destroyed. And that will change based on a couple of your titles, which you'll hear about in a couple of minutes. When you upgrade an item with an upgrade component, you now see a preview of what that item will look like after the upgrade. New die system. The new die system improves the appearance of base die colors and mixed die colors. This new system is used when you newly apply die to an item. Existing item colors are not affected. Newly crafted armor now starts out gray. If you dye it to another color and then later want to restore it to its original appearance, just dye it gray. Vendors now sell gray dye instead of dye remover. Yeah, you know how I said something about dye remover way back on the first episode that I was ever on Guildcast? Well, I found out later that I was mistaken about what I had said, and that dye remover actually could be used as a replacement for using a dye that was the same as that armor's base color. I used to do that and just buy the 50 gold dye remover as a cheap alternative to the dye itself, but now you can't do that. White and brown dye colors are now available as loot drops. Silver is now an equipment color option during character creation. A new dye preview panel lets you preview the effect of dye color combinations on your items before applying the dye. This is really good. What you do is you take a dye and double-click on it, and then click on your armor, like as if you were going to use it. You'll get this little window that pops up, showing you a preview of what it's going to look like on your armor. If you want to preview a mixed color, just drag more dyes into that window, and it'll show you that too. How do you like that? No more wasting all of your dye and mixing your black dye with other things needlessly just to find out, hey, I wonder what this one will look like, and then finding out that you hate it. New damage interface. The new damage monitor panel shows all skills that your opponents have recently used against you. You can hover the mouse over any skill icon to get a tooltip explaining that skill. I really like this feature. Often I've had hexes or something on me, and the effect goes away before I have a chance to look at it and see what it is. Now by default, it shows up on the left-hand side of your screen, and the little icons tell you what it does. This is really good for learning or for teaching others how to deal with different conditions and hexes. The numbers that float above characters' heads are now bigger and use different animations to help distinguish between damage, healing, and experience. Yeah, that's kind of annoying, but I guess I'll survive. PvP-only character creation. The PvP character creation process has been simplified. During character creation, you now choose only the character's primary profession, character appearance, and name. Newly created PvP characters start off with a set of equipment and 6 basic skills for their primary profession, so you can start playing immediately. To outfit your PvP characters with other skills and equipment, you can use the new skill and equipment template systems. This is really nice. No more having to re-roll your character just because you want a new rune or a different weapon. All you have to do is create your character, and then you can switch around anything you want. Balthazar's faction. The rate of Balthazar's faction has been doubled for all types of PvP. In high-level arenas, players now earn 40 faction per unique kill, 50 faction for winning, 50 faction for a flawless victory, and 50 faction for a 5-game winning streak. In Heroes Ascent, players now earn 40 faction per unique kill, 200 to 800 faction for winning, depending on the map, and 200 faction for a flawless victory. In Guild Combat, players now earn 40 faction per unique kill, 1,000 to 4,000 faction for winning, depending on their guild rating, and 200 to 800 faction for a flawless victory, depending on their guild rating. In Alliance Battles and Competitive Missions, players now earn 6 faction per kill. Henchman Controls. Henchman controls are now available on the compass. To direct your henchmen, click the Henchman button on the compass, then click anywhere on the compass or in the world to select where you'd like your henchmen to go. Improved Hero and Henchman AI. Now, these descriptions are all very vague, and I have not tested them all yet myself, but here's what the update page said. Heroes and henchmen now take into account conditions and exhaustion when choosing which skills to cast. They also consider attribute levels for stolen skills and combo states for assassin skills. They have improved combo awareness for some important skill combinations. They have improved knowledge of skills, so that they make smarter decisions about which skills to cast. They manage their energy better. They are better at kiting opponents. They are better at getting out and staying out of AoE damage spells. They move in formation around their leader, with melee characters in front and ranged or casting characters in back. And, hey, if they can do these things, they behave better than a lot of human players that I know. They follow their leader whenever they haven't been specifically directed to move to a point. The leader for heroes is the player who owns the hero, and the leader for henchmen is the party leader. This is important to know. It's not just a matter of tapping your movement keys anymore to get them to follow you, because you already know who they're following if you haven't given them some other instructions. And most importantly, they also know how to have fun. Improved monster AI. Monsters no longer run from AoE damage when they are very healthy or when they think they're very close to killing their opponent. Melee monsters are more intelligent about keeping themselves spread out, so that they don't put themselves into a position where they're highly susceptible to AoE attacks. A lot of this does not bode well for some of our current farming builds. Some, though, I have tested, and they still work fine. Others, there are people who are livid about them being nerfed. But really, some of it is not as bad as it's being made out to be. More details to come when I get a chance to check everything out. Gameplay changes. The rarity of items within locked chests is now properly randomized. Armor swapping is now disabled during PvP games. Certain situations that caused players to get stuck and not be able to move have been fixed, and a new command, /stuck, has been introduced to help players free their characters if they become stuck. That's good. Title system changes. The Treasure Hunter and Seeker of Wisdom titles now confer a benefit to players who earn them. For each rank of either title earned, the chance of an item not being destroyed when salvaging a magical upgrade component is increased by 3% from a base of 50%. The Hero, Gladiator, and Champion titles now confer a benefit to players who earn them. Gaining ranks in these titles increases the maximum cap of unspent Balthazar's faction. The cap increases by 2,000 faction points for each of the first 5 ranks of the Hero title, and 5,000 faction points for each subsequent rank, and the cap increases by 5,000 faction points for each rank of the Gladiator and Champion titles earned. So hey, some of these titles actually now have a point to them, other than bragging rights. Not to say that there's anything wrong with bragging rights, but, you know. Material storage. The material storage panel, which was previously a feature of Guild Wars Faction, is now available to all players. That is good, because I have always thought that having it only be a faction's feature was ridiculous, lame, and some other words which I won't say here. User interface improvements. While forming a party, you can now control-click on your skill bar to announce your skill setup to your party members. No more having to type out your skill bar anymore. Called targets now remain active for up to 30 seconds after being attacked by their caller and do not go away when the caller changes targets. That's nice. I used to not be able to call targets if I was SSing or something, because if I started attacking something else, the called target would go away. During guild combat, a countdown timer now displays the amount of time remaining until that team that holds the shrine will gain a morale boost. In all types of PvP, a new score screen option, Team Status, shows a summary of the health and morale of your entire team, including allied NPCs. A new option, Hide UI, on the login screen allows you to use the login screen as a screensaver. The client continues to download game assets in the background while in screensaver mode. The text and audio languages can now be independently selected in the options panel. Other new options enable you to keep windows open when pressing escape, to disable tooltips on skill bars, and to disable tooltips on effect monitors. Equipment balance changes. A few of these we've been kind of expecting for a while, and here they are. Reduced the cost of all armor sets found on Xingjie Island. Updated the Henge of Denravi axe to have +5 inherent energy instead of the +25 inherent health. Updated the Henge of Denravi bow to have +5 inherent energy instead of +10 inherent armor. Updated some fiery flame spitters that had a 15% recharge chance instead of the normal 10% chance. Green item staffs, crafted staffs, and collector staffs with any sort of recharge bonus have been updated to reduce the recharge time of all spells with a chance of 20% instead of the attribute-specific bonuses they had previously. updated a sword received from a quest in Pre-Searing Ascalon to remove the inherent plus 5 armor while enchanted bonus. It now deals an additional 15% damage while health is above 50. Updated the warrior's dreadnought and dragon armor suits to plus 10 versus elemental to match how the armor bonus works under the new insignia system. Updated the warrior's sentinel armor suit to plus 20 versus elemental, rec 13 strength, to match how the armor bonus works under the new insignia system. Updated the necromancer's tormentor armor suit to add 6 holy damage on the chest, 4 on the leggings, and 2 on all other pieces. It was previously 5 damage for all pieces. Updated the assassin, saboteur, infiltrator, and vanguard armor suits to have plus 10 armor versus all physical damage, and an additional plus 10 armor versus a specific type of physical damage. The condition reduction bonuses were removed to match how the bonuses work under the new insignia system. Updated all instances of stone fist gauntlets to remove the negative 5 armor penalty to match how the bonus works under the new insignia system. Updated all instances of the lieutenant's helm to remove the negative 10 armor versus physical penalty to match how the bonus works under the new insignia system. Updated maximum level headgear found in prophecies and factions with a plus 1 energy bonus to equalize it with possibilities found in Nightfall and at the new PvP equipment panel. Warrior headgear that already had built-in armor bonuses will remain unaffected. Okay, so like I said, there was a lot to this update. There were also a ton of skill balance changes, which I'm not going to read, partly because there's so many of them, and also because I'm not sure of all of the ramifications of them yet. We will probably talk about them more soon enough, though. You can read all about them, and any of these other updates that I've read here, at guildwars.com/support/game updates. And last, but not least, more news on my favorite Guild Wars holiday. I know that some people have liked the other festivals better, but I still think that last year's Halloween was the best. And of course, there's my favorite trick-or-treater. I mean, honestly, who else gives you prizes for doing emotes and listening to his really bad jokes? I mean, come on, that is just awesome. So, here's what the update page said about the start of the Halloween event. When the moon shines down on the Elan, like the eye of a ravenous drake, keep a lantern close by and the darkness at bay, for on this holiday night, they say, a spirit returns, pumpkin on head, wicked deeds and bad jokes will abound. He'll bluster and shout, spread chaos about, till a banishment for his mischief be found. Heed my tale, ye brave heroes, from lands north and south. Listen wherefore I say. Bind your sanity close, lest you lose what you love most, when the monarch of madness appears. So, that'll be it for another episode of Guildcast. You'll find archived episodes, merchandise, our wiki, and lots of other information at www.guildcast.com. Our message boards are at guildcast.com/forum, where you can comment on the show, share builds with other people, buy and sell items, find other people to party with, and much more. You can email our fearless leader Sean at shawn@guildcast.com, or me, Lady Sinea, at ladysinaea@gmail.com. And as always, tell your friends and tell your guildmates about guildcast.com.